Being in Calcutta for 6 months, and this morning we're just going to share a little bit with you about some things that we learned and some things that really challenged us, and then later on after lunch we're going to share a bit more about what projects we worked with, and yeah, I'm going to share a little bit about something I really learned when we were away. And last time we were here we were talking about how we changed locations last minute, and if some of you remember, you might remember that we were supposed to be going to Mozambique, and about 2 weeks before training started we were told we were actually going to India, a whole different continent, a very different place. And in our talk last time, we were talking about how we really learned through that experience that God was in control. And that is something that we definitely continued to learn the whole time we were out in India. And something that I really learned when we were there is just how much we need to rely on God and how much we should rely on God. And I've been a Christian my whole life, and went to church with my parents, and at the age of 12 I was baptized, and that's when I'd say I really got my own independent faith. And but I think even through going to church and growing up in a Christian family and everything, you can say that you rely on God, but I don't think all the time that we do. And I think most of the time we try and do it our own way and we try and do it ourselves, and maybe times when we're really, really struggling we might turn to God, but sometimes we just do it our own way. And I'd say when I was doing my A-levels last year, it seems like a very long time ago, but it wasn't. I'd say a lot of the time when I was really stressed out and I was really struggling, I tried just to do it my own way, and I tried working harder, and I tried all different things. But very few times did I actually think, oh, maybe I should pray about this, and maybe I should just stop and just let go of things and just turn to God and hand everything to Him. And in India, we worked with a project called the Good News Children's Education Mission, which we will tell you a lot more about later. But the couple that set it up, called Sabir and Enoch, were an amazing example to us of how we really should depend on God. And they set up the organisation over 2 decades ago. And through meeting with them and learning more about the project, we really discovered how much they depended on God. We talked to them and they'd be telling us about new projects they wanted to set up and new schools and new hospitals and everything. And one thing that was really clear is they were just like, well, we're going to pray about it and we know God will provide, so we don't have to worry about it. We'll just pray, and if it's God's will happen. And I think it was quite challenging for us at first to kind of be like, whoa, surely you need to still be worried about things because, you know, it might not happen. But they were like, yeah, it will happen. God will provide, you know. And yeah, it really was very challenging. And there we go. Okay, so 1 John 5 verse 14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And that's something that I think was really relevant to us when we were in India, is that if we ask God for things and they're according to his will, that he will provide. And Sabir and Enoch, they set up their organisation with knowing that it was for God and knowing that it was according to his will. So they really use this verse to kind of just really rely on God for everything. And I think being back, it's been a lot more challenging actually to rely on God than I thought it would be. In India, we had times and where we could read our Bible and life wasn't as busy. We were very busy, but we still had time somehow. And back here, it's distracting. We've got TVs and we've got people we have to go see and talk to. And we've just got a Western culture that is just, you have to do, 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 and you can't stop. And I think being back's been even harder to depend on God. And it's been harder to find time to read my Bible and pray. And I shared a bit last night with the discoverers that actually, we should only spend 10 minutes, you know, we should just spend 10 minutes a day reading our Bible. But actually, since I've been back, I've probably read my Bible maybe twice, and that's really bad. But we live in a society where it's hard to find those times. But yeah, through being in India, I really learned that when we find those times and we really dive into it, that we really do develop this dependence and this reliance on God that is amazing. And I think something that I want you guys to think about, and something that I think about, and is just that, can we really depend on God when we have everything? And that if we don't remove ourselves out of the Western culture and out of what we what we're sort of controlled by and sort of busy with, can we really depend on God, and can we fully rely on him when we have so much else going on? And I think Jake's going to share a little bit more about a challenge that he faced.
Morning. So as you may well remember, when we were just here just a week before we left, we were all very nervous about going, which is quite understandable. So I was nervous about, you know, being in a different culture, seeing all different people, all the noises, different food. But one of the things I was very nervous about was working with the children over there, because I'm not the best person with children historically, so I never really made it as a babysitter. I always feel kind of like, am I influencing the child in the wrong way? I don't feel very mature myself, so like, how am I kind of equipped to help children? So yeah, myself and children don't normally get on very well. So obviously the prospect of living in India for 6 months in a culture I wasn't used to and being tasked with kind of controlling children and teaching them English was quite daunting for me, especially as we would be doing it 4 days a week. It was going to be our main project. So I was quite nervous. And I remember on the first day of school, all the kids came running in. They were like so amazed to see us because we were so different from them. And they were all introducing themselves, shouting all their names at us. Half of their names I didn't understand properly. The other half I couldn't pronounce. And I was sure there was no way I was going to remember any of the kids' names and that they'd all be completely fed up with me by the end of the week. But what we kind of realized after the coming days and weeks was we got to know the kids a lot better, and we did actually begin to learn their names as we kind of immersed ourselves in their culture. And not only did we begin to learn their names, but we also found ourselves kind of talking with them and learning their individual personalities as well, which is something I really didn't kind of think of before, is how all these kids are just so funny in their own way. And even though we can't really communicate with them very well, you can see their personality like shining through in the actions that they did in the school. And yeah, so before we knew it, we were really starting to build relationships with all these kids here, which was, again, something I wasn't quite prepared for. I thought I'd kind of just go to the school, help, and kind of leave it at the door. But really, I was finding myself like thinking about all the kids, and as we got to know them better and they got to know us better, as they began to trust us more, kind of our relationship with them grew and grew. And to the point where I myself, and I'm sure the team, were really disappointed whenever we had days off, or if we weren't able to make it to school, it was like such a letdown. You just feel flat after the day if you hadn't seen the kids in the morning. And obviously I'd never experienced not wanting to have a day off before, so it was quite surprising. And I think I didn't really realize the extent to which that my relationship with the kids had got to until February, when 18 of our children moved from the mobile school we were working in to one of the hostels run by the same organization. So the idea is they come to our school first for maybe a year or so and kind of learn how to behave in a classroom and things. And then they move on to the hostels where they get full-time education, full-time accommodation, free education and free food, which is obviously fantastic. But found myself really disappointed that the kids weren't at school anymore and really missing just seeing their faces and playing with them in the morning. So it was it was quite hard initially. But what we we asked the organization if we could go and visit them at the hostel. There's some pictures of them at the hostel. So we went to the hostel to visit them, and it was actually really nice to see them settling in and having lots of fun with their new friends. It was, very, very nice experience. So over the 6 months of working with the children, building relationships I didn't expect to build, we learned lots of things from the children, which is ironic because obviously we were over there to teach them, but I think we actually learned a lot more from them and the way they behave with each other. And especially the fact that they, even the kids over there, they really have nothing. They're so generous whenever they have anything. So anytime one of them would get the chance to have like some chocolate bar or some sweets, they'd instantly come up to us and be like, "Do you want some of my chocolate bar?" It's like, "Oh, you don't need to give me things. I have lots of things of my own." But they're just so generous, and they always want to give you things and want to share it with their friends. And we saw this when we were lucky enough to see them receiving their Operation Christmas Child boxes just here. So obviously, I'm sure you all know this, how you do it, and we do it at our church. I've done it lots of times. You kind of decorate the boxes and put all the toys in it and sign girl 7 to 13 or whatever, tick the box. But I'd never seen anybody received them before, and it was such a special experience to see these kids who had, have nothing, receiving presents from people who were from abroad, and it was it was really nice to see, and they were kind of really enjoying playing with them. And then instantly afterwards, they'd just run up to us and they were trying to give us presents from their boxes. And so even though the boxes had come from people like us, as soon as they received them, they were sharing the stuff with their friends and like all playing with their toys and trying to give us some of their toys, which so like in Proverbs I was reading, and it says, give freely and become more wealthy, be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And when I was reading this and thinking about it, I was kind of surprised myself how can kids over there be so generous with the little that they have, but myself over here have so much, but I really am not willing to give any of it away. So I think in the culture we live in is relatively selfish in that we give lots to charity, but I think we do find that we're kind of very set on our own lives and our own intentions. And I think this verse kind of highlights the fact that the more you give to people, in actual fact, the more you receive. And I really found that during my time in India. Although I gave up 6 months of my time, I'd do it again in a heartbeat, because I feel like the rewards I gained from that were just so much more. All of the time I gave to the children, I felt like I received so much more from them than I could ever give to them. I just would encourage you to kind of continue to give, because you do find that you receive much, much more than you could ever give.
Okay, so you may remember me doing a talk a little bit last time on how I have found control always to be a bit of an issue for me. And how I was definitely the kind of person that needed everything planned out, and which you can probably tell from the quite complex order of what I'm hoping to say in the next 5 minutes. I think I always need to have a plan of action or a goal or a to-do list or something. But something that I found overseas was how important being was as opposed to doing. As somebody who's always tried to be a forward planner, preparing and working out every last detail in the hope that I'll do things right, settling into a culture or settling into the routine of actually not having a routine was quite a challenge in itself for me. Whilst we were training, we were told that the motto of mission is to expect the unexpected. And I think I found this to be very true in sort of both sort of my own personal life, but also sort of spiritual and emotional growth in time overseas. Later on in our presentation after lunch, we're going to be talking a lot more about the mobile school and what it was that we did during the days there. But I think it was here where I probably learnt the most about just being. I think at the end of week one, we were all left feeling quite overwhelmed because we'd gone into a classroom and been attempting to teach these children. And about the picture earlier on, that was a picture of about 70 children, and we would be in a room that was probably maybe a quarter of the size of this room here. And the first day we were literally just given a load of flashcards with A to Z on them and told to teach them English, or told to to sort of do that kind of thing. And I think also it was quite draining as well, because we'd be asked to maybe teach them body parts, and they wanted to write the body parts, so we'd be writing them up on the board, and you'd go A-R-M, arm, and then you go M-O-U-T-H, mouth, and then you'd go down, and so maybe you'd do three or four, and then you'd go back up to the top and go Eiraki, which is what is this, and they go I, and you've just taught them that it's arm. And it was just so like, oh no, so hard. And I think I'd gone in thinking, oh, I really want to be able to give these kids an education, and like, oh man, why can't we do it? And about 2 weeks into it, we met with Sabir, who's the guy that heads up the organization and who started it, and we kind of said, what are we meant to be doing? Because this is crazy. And he said, obviously you teach them English and you teach them maths, but predominantly you just need to show them love. You just need to teach them about God and just be with them.
And I was kind of like, okay, I'll just go into this little corner. It's me trying to be all planned out and teach them all these things, when actually the first thing we needed to do was just to show them that we love them and give these kids time and just play with them and show them that they're really worth something, and that kind of thing. And it was with this mindset that I think we then began to really thrive in what we did. There was really not a day when we didn't have, or a moment when we didn't have a kid climbing on us, or not even just one, sort of three or four, as you saw in that photo with Jake, all the time. But I think I really learned just in those moments where they were really squeezing your hand so tight, or just wanting to sit next to you while we were waiting for breakfast or something like that, kind of just how important it was to love these kids. Okay, so this is the verse. And I think this kind of really spoke to me about, yeah, just kind of putting things, other things aside. It's, I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all the secret things of God and have all knowledge. And I may have faith so great I can move mountains. But even with all these things, if I do not have love, then I'm nothing. And I think that was, it's probably, yeah, the biggest verse that spoke to me while we were out there. If I don't take a step back and think, well, I need to deal with this through love, and I really need to just firstly love the kids, then what can I do? What can I achieve? And I mean, it was at the root of why God sent his son for us. It was because he loved us. So all the other things come afterwards. I'm going to skip on to the next photo. This is a photo of a boy who we don't know his name. And in front of him is a one-day-old goat. Really, really, really cute. No, Tom made friends with him. But this is more just serves as a reminder, actually, of a day where we actually spent the day with the staff from the guest house, and it was Renu, who was a cleaner. It was her housewarming party. And so we went about 2 hours out of Kolkata and went to this really, really rural village where actually the majority of the people living there had never seen a white person before. And we were kind of waiting for lunch, and we were just wandering around the village, and we wandered into this little kind of alcovey bit where this boy was with the goats. And it was actually his mother kind of pulled us out some chairs and got us to sit down and offered us tea and kind of thing. And again, that day we weren't asked to sing, we weren't asked to pray, we weren't asked to share, we weren't asked to do anything. We were just asked to come along and to just be with people and to just, yeah, just to kind of, again, share God's love in a sort of predominantly Hindu and Muslim place, just to kind of be and to learn that much just through kind of talking with people and having their time. During one of the sessions we had while we were training, one of our trainers said, the rest of the world has time whilst the British have a watch. And I think the others are probably incredibly bored of me using this quote, but I think that it really does kind of characterize that kind of that sense of, yeah, not having to wear a watch and to think I need to be here at this time and here in that time. It's totally good to make sure you're on time for things. I think we're struggling with settling back into being on time for things. But it is that kind of thing of, yes, you need to do things. Yes, I need to get this done. Yes, 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 yes. But actually, things start with love, and love starts by relationship building, and relationship building starts through having time for people, and through being able to spend time with people. So I think, yeah, I think really the biggest thing I learned was how it is important to have a schedule and to be doing things, but it's also really important to have time and not just a watch.
There we are. Today I'm going to talk about flip-flops. So when we went over to India, I took a pair of flip-flops, the same as those ones, and used them for the whole time over there whenever we were on the streets. And they ended up lasting for the whole time, which was very impressive, if you saw the states of the streets over there. With those flip-flops, about 8 weeks before we left, I was just running up the stairs, and then my right one just snapped off at the joint bit. you see there. And I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? The pride of my life, I love them. So what I did was just a quick fix of just some super glue. And it seemed to hold okay, and I was like, oh, that will do, yeah, that will hold. And it lasted okay for a couple of weeks, and then me and Jake were walking down the street one of the evenings through Calcutta, and there was this little boy running behind me. I think he was trying to sell us chewing gum. And then he actually stepped on my flip-flop and it snapped again. I was like in the middle of Calcutta, just like with one snapped flip-flop, and I was like, what do I do now? Classic Indian style, there was this man just sitting right in front of me who repairs shoes. There's quite a few of them on the streets there, just repairs whatever people need just for like really small amount of money. So I just gave it to him in like the vain hope that he'd be able to do something with it. And he like looked at it for a little while and then like seemed to figure out what he was going to do. And he got a bit of leather, cut a strip of leather, and then kind of glued it onto the joint bit, and then fed it through the bottom and glued it onto the bottom bit. I was like, yeah, that's all good, but like, I glued it before and it came off, well done. And then what he actually went and did was stuck a hole through the middle of the joint and then started threading it through, and we were all just like, what are you doing? Like, I know you're a little bit old and you've been doing it for quite a long time, if you maybe started to lose it or something. And like, even like people started gathering around and looking at the kid who'd broken the flip-flop, was like looking in amazement at what he was doing. And then he like threaded it through and then actually stuck holes in the bottom of the flip-flop and threaded it through the bottom of the flip-flop as well, so that even if the glue gave way, it was actually all threaded through so that the thread would actually hold the flip-flop. So put the flip-flop story to one side at the moment. When I first went to India, I don't know if you can remember from when I was talking before, but I was quite unsure about my future. I still am to some extent. But so we had quite a bit of free time as well as doing the project. So I started looking around and I felt I was being called to some form of pastoral work, but I wasn't sure exactly what. And I just figured, so just started thinking quite independently. I prayed a little bit, but I was thinking quite independently. I was just like, oh, okay, so I probably need to go to some form of Bible college. So I started looking around, started looking at Moreland's Bible College, and thought it looked quite good, would be a bit of fun as well. And then found out that it was predominantly youth work and that it wasn't really focused so much on the pastoral side of things. So then I started looking at a few other Bible colleges and was looking around, but they, every time I started applying, something would come up that meant that it wasn't right for me. And every time I was applying, so for Moreland and for the other Bible colleges, there's something that just didn't feel quite right about applying to them. And then I started applying for London School of Theology, and I then discussed it with the leadership at my church in Sutton Coalfield, and they actually advised that with the line of work that I was looking into, like I discussed what I was kind of looking at, and they said, well, it kind of sounds like chaplaincy. And they said, with what I was looking at, you needed to be accredited, and that meant that I would have to go through the Baptist Union. And if I just went for a Bible college of my own accord and then went to the Baptist Union, they'd basically be like, well, that's great, but now you have to go and do another 3 years at another college somewhere else. So they just told me to spend some time thinking about it, but to go through the Baptist Union, they explained that it would be a very long process, where they're kind of basically assessing me as to whether I've got the right qualities for it, and whether it is God calling me. So I was just like, oh, well, that's pretty awkward, because I kind of wanted to get a future planned a bit more organized. It's kind of left me in the dark, and I don't know what I'll be doing next year. So I was a little bit gutted about that. And then at one of our projects in the last week, we had a bit of time to pray. And so we went off on our own to different bits and were just praying on our own. And I just sat there and just looked at my flip-flop. My flip-flop that had been fixed with the leather and the thread and stuff, and just actually saw that there was some similarities there to my walk with God at that moment, where the bit where it had been glued and where I glued it in the first place, that was similar to where I'd actually been looking at the Bible colleges myself, trying to do it independently, not really relying on God with that. And that kind of meant that although the glue worked for a little bit and all that, it didn't actually last and it came apart. It was quite weak. And that was me trying to do it independently. But then this thread that the man put through made it really strong, and it was stronger than it was beforehand as well. And it meant that even with the leather being glued in, even if that gave way, it meant that the thread was holding it together. And I felt that that just, for me, just really symbolised that although I'd been trying to do it myself and hadn't really been relying on God, that God has different plans for me, and that it's actually in his hands. And when you put it into his hands, then it is a lot more secure. And I read a verse from Proverbs as well, Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And it just made me realise that even though my future is uncertain, I know it's in his hands, and I shouldn't really try to do it without him, but actually rely more on him and put it into his hands more. And also just this morning when we were at one of the songs, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, in the last couple of verses it says, as if you should do things my way, you alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. I just thought that just really hit home with me. Just like, as if you should do things my way, like as if I'm trying to decide my future myself without even featuring God in it and like turning to him for it. So I felt that, yeah, I really rely on God more. So yeah, for me, India taught me that God is a thread in my flip-flops.